friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time. Here's the deal. There are 13 games to go.
Okay.
Six of them for the Guardians against the Detroit Tigers.
Detroit baseball.
Right now, the Guardians and Texas Rangers.
By the way, that used to aggravate me when you go up to Detroit. I could just say Detroit.
Right now, the Guardians and the Texas Rangers are three games behind the Houston Astros for the third and final wild card spot. Is it likely? No. Is it possible? You bet it is. Without question, it's possible. 13 games to go, you're three games back. Let's see what happens here. The Guardians in September, Andy, needed to play good baseball, right? In September, yes. They went 10-4. They just finished that stretch where they had 17 games in 17 days. Did they not? They went 12-5. That's pretty good. And tonight, Joey Cantillo goes up against Casey Mize in Detroit.
Okay.
And Cantillo's looked really good. Cantillo looks like a guy who I think is in the rotation next year. The one thing I wonder about, who are the position players on this team this year who you think we're going to see next year? And, you know, right off the top of anybody's head, I know what the answer is. Well, Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan and Kyle Manzardo. Nobody thinks of anybody else.
Not necessarily true.
Okay. This organization does not usually have wholesale changes. They don't turn things over in a big way. And that's why I agree with you, not necessarily true. Because I think there are other guys on this team who I think we're going to see next year. And I think we should see next year. But that said, 13 position players, I'm fine with half of them returning.
I'm filling out my lineup.
That means six and a half.
I think the infield could be pretty easy to figure out.
Okay. Figure it out.
I think you're going to go.
Would you agree that Jose?
Okay.
Kwan. Although.
One spot in the outfield. Okay.
I wouldn't sleep on the notion that Kwan gets traded this winter. I just wouldn't sleep on that. So
okay.
I don't think
I would trade him at the trade deadline because he plays so well in the first half of the season.
I don't think I want him to be traded, but I also would love to see more power in the corner, you know, in left field.
Okay.
It's a power spot.
All right.
And then Kyle Manzardo.
Okay.
There are three other guys who I think I really want to have back on this team next year because I think their upside screams bring them back for next year and make sure that they're playing every day.
Okay.
Brian Rocchio.
I have Rocchio playing short next year.
I would think Rocchio is your shortstop next year if they think Bazana's ready to go.
I have Bazana at second base.
Rocchio is swinging a pretty good bat.
Okay.
His glove is terrific. He made a play the other day that was just awesome to end the game against the White Sox on Sunday.
Yep.
And save the game.
Okay.
Unbelievable play at second.
Yep.
I think he can do the same thing at shortstop.
Okay.
So Rocchio's one of them.
Yep.
Bo Naylor behind the plate.
I got Bo Naylor behind the plate too.
Bo's bat isn't what we want it to be yet. His catching, probably not what we want it to be yet.
Okay.
But I think he's a prospect that is worth developing and continuing to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he should be your starting catcher next year. And I think he will be. And I think if they don't bring back Austin Hedges yet again, and I could understand if they don't, I could see Austin Hedges being a catching instructor in the system.
Okay.
He's really good behind the plate.
Yeah.
I could also see him going to another team and being, you know, the second string catcher. But Austin can't hit. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a problem. But I think, keep going. Who do you have at first base?
Kyler Manzardo.
Okay, I have Manzardo first base. But I only
have six guys that I'm locked into for next year.
Well, then we were on the same.
There's one page. More guy.
Oh, you have somebody else locked in?
Have seven? Well, I gave you five.
Oh, I have.
Thanks for keeping score.
Wait a second. Ramirez at third, we said. Did you have Rocchio at short?
Yep. Okay, I didn't even put him in a position. I just have these guys back.
Next year. I got Pizana at second.
Well,
I've got
Manzardo at first. Ready? That's
he's going to be ready. He's the first overall pick, and I'm watching all these other guys that got drafted after him in the league. He'll be ready next year. Otherwise, they've failed. Or he's hurt. Kwan is the other guy ahead.
Yeah.
So that leaves you three places to get some power going.
I've Manzardo.
Okay.
Is at first base.
Okay.
And I just mentioned Bo Naylor. That's five.
Yeah.
Dano, your thoughts on this too. I think Angel Martinez looks like a keeper. And he might be your keeper in center field. He's come up. He's driven in some runs. He's got a little bit of pop. He's only 23. Looks pretty good in center for a guy who's been an infielder most of his life. And I think Angel Martinez deserves a spot on this team next year and probably starting. Now, that said, you drafted a lot of outfielders. You have Chase DeLauder, who, if he's ever healthy, could play center field for you. But I think Martinez looks like a keeper. What do you think, Dano?
Are we operating under the concept that they're not going to spend a whole bunch of money in the offseason?
Well, of course.
He's okay. In.
Are we going to operate under the concept that they may spend some money in the offseason to improve this roster?
No, we already said a little bit of money. Not a whole lot.
Okay. A little bit of money.
Then Angel Martinez is probably sitting in center field.
That's what I think, too.
I'm just saying that you have.
Should he be?
No, to me, he's on the bench. I use him for speed.
Is he a utility
on the bench,
guy?
Right there.
Utility guy on the bench. Because I got to go externally and find somebody to help this roster. This pitching staff is too good. It's time.
Could DeLauder be your center fielder? He's played center.
I mean, can you tell me he's going to be healthy for 50 games?
Nope.
You have your answer. Until that guy can be healthy for like more than half a season, like that's such a low bar, it's ridiculous. They have got to find externally someone who can get some oomph into this lineup. Because it's certainly not internally at this point.
You know who that man is?
Tell me, Andy.
Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, come on.
I'd be okay with it.
Well, of course you're not against it. You got $300 million sitting around?
You think he's getting $300 million?
Yep.
You really think so?
Yep. Damn. What do you think, Dana?
He's getting paid. He can't really play a position. No, that's the only thing. Like, you really don't want him at first base, and you really don't want him in the outfield.
He's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I bet the Phillies pony up.
Now, is there anybody else who you think you're locked into for next year on this team? Because
position players. We're not talking about pitchers.
Oh, right? Pitching, there's a lot of guys you want back. So.
Yeah.
So if I had six guys, that means I'm not going to be heartbroken if they move on from these players. Gabe Arias, Daniel Schneeman, Nolan Jones, Austin Hedges, David Fry, Junkenzie Noel, Lane Thomas. I wonder about C.J. Cephas. I think C.J. needs to show more. Will Wilson, Jonathan Rodriguez, George Valera, Will Brennan. I honestly think any of those guys, if they're not back, I would understand why. Because you're trying to upgrade things. I think Gabe Arias has a chance to be back here as an all-around utility guy. But see, here's the problem. Gabe Arias is a utility guy, in my estimation. I don't think he's an everyday player, at least not yet. I don't think Daniel Schneeman is an everyday player. But that means you could still get him 400 at bats. But there's two utility guys. Dan thinks Martinez is a utility guy. I think he might start in center field next year. So that's three utility guys. I mean, I'm tired of seeing all the platooning. I'm tired of seeing guys playing against righty, lefty, you know, three games a week. You need guys who you want to put out there for 150 games. And that's why I think they're not going to... It's why I hope they're not locked into just, you know, everybody who's here. Like last year, what'd they bring back in right field? Everybody. Here's Will Brennan. Here's Junkenzie Noel. Let's give Nolan Jones a chance. And I love Nolan Jones getting a chance. Can he figure it out next year? Maybe. If so, bring him back and bring him an invite to spring training. But, boy, you got to hit better than you've hit this year.
CJ Kafis back next year, right?
I would think so. But where are you going to play him?
I'll find a spot.
It's first base or the outfield.
Well, I have right field open. But I need a bat. Cooper Engel, probably your other catcher?
I would think it's probably that time, except for one thing. Austin Hedges is so good with the pitching staff, and they love him. They love that guy. And I see why. He's terrific.
Yeah, but
he just can't hit.
Don't you think there's some pressure coming up to want to bring up a fourth-round pick?
In Engel?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Hedges is hitting 147, but they love him. Paul Hoynes is on his way to Detroit.
Lavalette's like 2 years away, you think? Another year away?
Not necessarily. Maybe he's this year. Next year's Nick Kurtz.
Okay, I'll take it.
Me too. Guardians didn't. They took Bizana.
And what about Ralphie Velasquez?
He's a year or two away.
Yeah.
He's in AA right now.
Yeah.
Was. Although Hoynes, he's on his way to Detroit. He's going to cover the big series. Can it be done? Can the Guardians get the wild card spot? Is it a possibility? Hoynes will give us his thoughts next on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
You read Paul Hoynes in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. If you're looking for great talk about the Guardians, you listen to the Baseball Talk podcast with Paul Hoynes and Joe Noga. Paul Hoynes joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Hoynesy.
Hoynesy!
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How do you like doing that podcast?
You know, talking is a lot easier than writing, I found. But I used to think that. But now I'm running out of words, man.
Put it this way. I've never seen a baseball break someone's mouth like you can a computer if it flies into the press box. So you got that going for you.
That's exactly right.
So here are a couple of things. Here we are in mid-September. There are 13 games left in the season, and the Guardians are not only just playing games that matter. Hoynesy, they're not done yet. Not likely, but they're not done.
That's right, Jeff. They're kind of in it on two fronts. You know, they've got a chance at the division and a chance in the wild card, and I guess that's why they expanded, you know, the wild card bracket to from two to three teams. It keeps a lot of teams involved at this time of year.
All right, Hoynesy, give me your gut feeling. Will they be there when the postseason rolls around?
You know, Andy, I think the odds are against them. I really do. I think this is a steep hill to climb on both fronts. You look at the Tigers, they've got to almost sweep, don't they? They got to take six straight or five or six, and then you need help. The chances are in the wild card are better, especially because they can play Texas the last three games of the season. But even that's a tall order because the teams shift so fast in there. You know, for weeks they were chasing Seattle. Now they're chasing Houston. You know, and that could flip back before the end of the season again. So it's just the best way to get into the postseason is to win the division. You know, then you just take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about the extraneous stuff.
Hoynesy, the six-man rotation for 17 games in 17 days, a rousing success. Congratulations, huh?
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, I was not a big fan when they did that. You know, I know when Tito was here, he was definitely against the six-man rotation. But in this case, in this instance, you know, it was the perfect solution for their problem because, one, they didn't have Class A, so you got to cover an extra inning in the bullpen. Two, all of their starters, the young starters, have maxed out on their, innings pitched or career innings pitched already. And three, it gave them kind of an advantage, I think, because, you know, the starters all had an extra day's rest. And I think they were stronger going into that stretch. They since they went to the six-man rotation, they're 7-1 with some kind of ungodly ERA, like 1.176, something like that. But they've done a great job with it.
And going to that six-man rotation, how much more do you think that's improved the bullpen? It's been less taxing. It feels like it's been less taxing on the bullpen.
Oh yeah, no doubt, Andy. You know, I think we've seen it with Cade Smith. You know, he's been used. He's really come into his own. He's saved 8 straight saves. And I think the guy that's really benefited has been Hunter Gaddis. You know, I thought he was getting a little gassed at the, about a month ago because they kept going to him for more than one inning. And now he's one back into that one inning slot, kind of the setup slot, and his stuff looks great.
Paul Hoynes joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. On his way to Detroit, he'll be covering the Guardians against the Tigers, and of course, a baseball talk podcast with Hoynesy and Joe Noga that you definitely want to listen to. Do you think, Hoynesy, this year has been not what they wanted for Travis Bezzana? They're still in this thing right now. I think we're all in the same opinion. Unlikely that they make the playoffs. So we're looking ahead a little bit. Do you think Bezzana is on track to be here next year? And do you think in any way, shape, or form they regret taking him number one overall?
I don't think they regret taking him, Jeff. I think they regret that he got hurt. You know, because if you just look at it, you kind of pull back and you look at it from a big picture standpoint. You know, this is a guy that got, he was one of one, in 2024. But, this is his first full season as a professional. He's already at AAA. The problem was he kept getting hurt. But I think, their plan was for him to help out the big league club at some point this year, just like DeLauder and Brito, too. I think all those three guys were ticketed to help this club, but they all got hurt. And Bezzana, with the two, with the oblique, the right and the left oblique, and, he's kind of suffered in comparison to Kurtz, who is having a monster season.
I want to believe, and it's just so weird how streaky this team has been. You go back to September 5th, they've only lost one game. And two games since September 3rd. Is that right, man? I'm just hoping that the streak keeps going forward. What do they need to do against Detroit to be able to take down the Tigers here in this series?
Well, Andy, Detroit has the series lead 4-3, but they've only outscored them by one run, 21-20. So that's how close these games have been. They're going to have to hit. They're going to have to hit. There's Detroit starting.
So you're saying we need to pray. We need to start praying.
They've got to hit Scooble. They've got to hit Scooble, which they haven't done. They haven't laid a glove on Scooble all year. He's got 16 innings. They haven't scored a run against him in two starts. Mize, I think they've scored one or two runs against him in 12 innings. And Flaherty, they beat Flaherty earlier in the year, but this guy has owned him last, 2024. In four starts, he had like a 1.04 ERA against them. So, the Tigers lined up their rotation for this series for one purpose, to end the Guardians' season.
Paul Hoynes joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. Hoynesy, just before you joined us, Andy and Dan and I kind of threw out some thoughts about next year and looking at the position players. And I had six guys that I thought I would think they would want to bring back and who could actually be key guys for them next year, which means about half of them, I if they move on from them, okay. Andy had about the same number, so did Dan. Does this organization ever make that kind of a move where they could do that much tinkering, do you think? Could you see them not bringing back half of the guys who are here? Or do you think they're going to do kind of like what they did with right field this year? Hey, let's bring back John Kenzie and Will Brennan and see what else we can get out there. Because, clearly they can't score runs. They got to do something. But yeah, I wonder what they do.
Yeah, I don't know, Jeff. That's a great question. I mean, you know, they always go with the theory that, you know, we've got the young, one of the youngest rosters in baseball, you know, if, you know what they, and they'll mature over a year. So the guys they got this year will be a year better because they spent a year in the big leagues. You know, I'm not sure that's the right way to go. I think this offense needs some help, and they've got to go outside the organization to find it. I mean, I know it's going to be crowded. You know, if Pisano's healthy, if DeLauder's healthy, you know, Brito's healthy next year. You know, you've got to find spots for them. But they cannot, you know, what they're doing this year is mind-boggling to me. The lowest batting average in the big leagues, and they're still in this thing. You know, and I don't know if that can happen. I don't think that's supposed to, that's not the way you're supposed, it's supposed to work. They're 27th in runs scored. They're at the bottom in OPS and slugging percentage and on base percentage. It's just to do what they've done. I mean, you know, if you could add a couple, you know, professional hitters, real free agents, or make a trade for some of these, somebody, a legitimate hitter, I think that would really, really help this offense.
Hoynsey, I know you like Gabe Arias. I love his arm. There are times he looks like the real deal. If Bazana's going to get here next year and play second base, that means Rocchio is going to play somewhere. Do you think Rocchio is better suited long-term than Arias to be the shortstop, or is it neither one of those guys?
Boy, that's a great question. I think Rocchio is a pure shortstop. I think that's where he belongs. That's where he should probably stay. If he's going to hit like he's hit in the second half since he's come back, I think he's definitely the shortstop. Love Arias, but, you know, like you said, great arm. And, you know, this has been one of his, maybe his best season so far, but he's still hitting 230.
Yeah.
You know, and there's times when, you know, he just swings and misses so much at the plate, but he has, I'll give him, he has gotten better, and he can play shortstop. So I guess you can never have too many shortstops, but, you know, I think when it all shakes out, Bazana's going to be at second, and Rocchio will probably be at short.
All right. It was interesting that you said Detroit lined up their pitching rotation for the Guardians right here. So I was thinking, if the Guardians get to the end of the season against Texas, because I'm just looking ahead at the rotation, they don't have anybody labeled there yet. And I do think it would be Messick, Ciccone, Cantillo to end out the season. If you had to throw three pitchers at Texas to make the playoffs, one, would you do it? Because if you won, you'd be going to the playoffs. Two, who would it be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Andy, the thing is, they're going to have to win as many games as they can just to get to those three games.
Right.
And you're going to have to use your best pitchers to get there. So you may have no choice on who you throw in those three games. But, you know, in a perfect world, I'd go with Bibee, Gavin Williams, and Ciccone.
I'm with you. I love what Ciccone's done this year. I think, especially when he started off the year a little bit injured, and then it made me feel a lot better about the trade, I can tell you that.
Hoynsey,
yeah, I mean, he saved that trade.
Yeah, he did.
Hoynsey, I know the team loves David Fry, and we know he's coming back from the injury, couldn't play a position this year, and yet he's been DHing and hitting in the 170s. What's David's spot on this team next year, if there is one?
I think he's on the ball club, Jeff. You know, Vogt loves him, and when he was healthy in the first half of 2024, you know, he really kind of, you know, saved that club.
Sure, I thought did.
You know, he could bounce around. He was playing right field, he was playing first base, and then, you know, you can make moves with him and put him behind the plate. If he can come back to that kind of player, I think you know, he's definitely on the club. I think he'll play a big part on the club. But he's got to be healthy because he's got power. We've seen that even in the limited, you know, at bats that he's had this since he's come back from the Tommy John surgery.
Lindsay, I'm tormented right now because I absolutely love watching teams try to build a team. So I can't wait for the offseason to get here. But this thing might last longer than we think it is. So I'm wishing them luck, and we'll see what they do in the next 13 games. Enjoy the series in Detroit. We'll read you in the Plain Dealer and your Baseball Talk podcast. Paul Hoynes, Joe Noga. Go listen to it. It's a lot of fun.
And if they don't sweep, don't come home. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Stay there. Stay in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going to sell my car and live in Detroit.
Get yourself a van. Hoynesy, living down by the river. Awesome.
Paul Hoynes on his way to the Motor City. Joining us on the Fan Hotline.
Greatest laugh in broadcasting right there.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. Meredith, you just heard taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. And Dan Menigan is behind the glass making sure we do whatever it is we're supposed to do.
Let me know when that is when you find
out. Yeah, when we were sitting around before the show, all of a sudden Dan said, "Aw." I said, "What?" And Dan said, "Robert Redford has passed away." And the legendary actor Robert Redford, 89 years old, passing away. And when I think of Robert Redford, you know, you think of some of the movies that he did, I immediately think The Natural.
And Roy Hobbs right out of the gate. I know he did a lot of great movies.
Me too.
Butch Cassidy. I mean, there's just so many.
And a good
Jeremiah
director.
Jones, I think, was one of the first movies I ever saw with my dad. Jeremiah Johnson, sorry. Was one of the first movies I ever saw with my dad at the old Center Mayfield on Mayfield Road.
I just... The Natural is my all-time favorite movie, period, let alone sports movie. It's my favorite movie, period. And he was great in it. Other than trying to play a 17-year-old kid at the age of 50 or whatever he was, everything about that movie was perfect. And he was great in that. And it's tough when you see these guys, you know, who have been in your life in some way, shape, or form, your entire life, passing away. You know, when you think of him and Paul Newman together.
Oh
my
yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Oh.
That's pretty awesome.
I was just thinking back to some of the great lines from Roy Hobbs, and I don't know, my dad wanted me to be a baseball player. Remember that? I was just like, there are so many lines that can stick with you, and like I remember writing a paper in college about how I was mad at Barbara Hershey. I wrote a paper on...
Barbara Hershey. She's not very nice.
Well, on Hoosiers. And I was still... like I couldn't get over the
she
fact that...
giving Norman Dale all that... You know what?
No. I mean, it was because she shot Roy Hobbs, right? So...
Well, she shot Roy Hobbs and she gave Norman Dale, you know what?
Yeah. I'm just saying, man. Like, I couldn't get... I remember writing in this paper. I'm like, I can't get over Barbara Hershey. I can't... I love this movie. I love Hoosiers, but I can't... All I see is the woman that pulled the trigger on Roy Hobbs.
If Roy hadn't struck out, whammer might not have happened.
That's a good point. It was the whammer.
She turned her head and it was like all over.
All that barnstorming will do that to you, won't it? What a great actor, though. I don't know. I always appreciated him. And if you've ever been out to, if you've ever been out to Park City for Sundance, not that I've ever been out there, but I've been out there a couple times and not during Sundance. And he loved that part of Utah where he was living. And
lived out there, right?
He passed away at Sundance. He had a couple ranches out there too, but I don't know. What a great actor. And just,
wouldn't you like to have a couple of ranches somewhere?
Well, you win a couple Oscars, I think you get a chance to do that. I don't know. Oscar. Yeah. I'd be happy to look at a Marconi.
I think that's true. Mm.
Yeah, it's sad, though. I'm bummed. I just thought he was a great actor.
Remind me to give the answer to this at the end of the segment, okay, Dana?
Okay.
Which former Cleveland Indian was an extra in The Natural?
Okay. I know the answer, so I'll move forward.
We'll share that.
I will abstain from speaking at this point.
So Robert Redford, 89 years old.
And, 89, man.
Thank you for all of the great work that you did to entertain all of us for so many years. The movie Tin Cup didn't have Robert Redford.
Nope.
It had Kevin Costner.
It had the guy that played in a ton Cheech. More sports movies than him, right?
Yeah. Every time you turn around, there's Costner doing another sports movie. But, you know, the movie Tin Cup is funny, and we all think, yeah, great. He's got a chance to win, but he's immortal because he just kept trying to clear the water.
Right.
Well, last week, if you haven't heard this already, John Daly, who you want to talk about a hoot in the world of people who aren't a hoot, that's John Daly on the PGA Tour. John Daly was participating, and John's about 60 now. He was participating in the PGA Tour Champions Sanford International. It was at the Minnehaha Country Club.
Oh, okay.
And he was doing okay. These are his scores, okay?
Okay.
And so he's playing in this senior event, and I'll go through the front nine. Ready?
Okay.
Four.
Oh, good.
Three.
Oh, good.
Four, five, four, three, four, three, four. So on the front nine, he shot a 37. He had a bogey. I was reading the par instead of what he shot. So he had a bogey, he had a bird, he had two other bogeys. Then here are his back nine scores. Ready?
Okay.
Four, four, 19.
Oh, man, I can do that. That's why I love golf.
John Daly had a 19 in a PGA tournament. A 19. They called it I don't even know how to pronounce it, a tetradeca bogey.
How many shots did he actually take?
Tetradeca bogey. And here's how it happened. He had seven golf balls land out of bounds, either in the water in front of the green or in the wooded area off to the left, according to NBA Sports. It's believed to be the highest single hole score of his playing career. And he's had several of these over the years.
Awesome.
Where John just says, heck with it. I'm going tin cup. I'm going to clear it.
I love it.
19.
He had seven penalties on the hole.
19.
Seven penalties.
And you know what? He got up and down on his last two shots to save 19.
I love it. So his second shot was from the
shot he could have had a 21 if he didn't get up and down.
This is awesome. His second shot was from the primary rough. Then he took a penalty. His fourth shot was from the primary rough. And then he took a penalty. Sixth, primary rough. Then a penalty. Eighth, primary rough penalty. 10th, primary rough penalty. 12th, primary rough penalty. 14th, primary rough penalty. Then on 16, he took one from the primary rough. Didn't have to take a penalty. Hit another one from the primary rough. I can only imagine what that was. Then he hit one from the intermediate rough. And then on shot 19, he got it in the hole. So I'm assuming only one putted on this.
It sounds like it. He got it up and down to save 19. So he chipped and one putt.
I wonder what was the score in tin cup? I wonder how many shots he actually took.
It was a 12, but I don't know. Daly shot an 88 with a 19.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, first you said
he shot an 88.
You're like, he shot an 88. I'm like, okay, well, he broke 100. That's good, isn't it?
If he took away the 12th hole, he shot a 69.
Wow. So it makes the game great.
I met John Daly years ago. He had just won the PGA at Crooked Stick.
All I know is like 2 years ago, he was at the Senior Open here, man. He got up. They had a concert out there. He hopped out on stage.
Oh, yeah.
He was singing like everybody that was hanging with John Daly.
He's enjoying the good life, man.
Had a great time, yeah.
He's enjoying the good life, beard and all. I met him at Firestone.
Ding!
And, well, it was, he had just won the PGA at Crooked Stick. Remember, what was he, sixth alternate, and he gets in and then he wins.
Was he wearing shoes?
And, you know, the way that guy putts.
Did he have a cigarette in his hand?
Putting, no, not then. Oh. But he was this young guy, you know, and he had, I lived in Stowe when I was in first grade. I did.
Okay.
And I lived on the same street as this nice couple who didn't have any kids, and they were older, but, you know, God knows they probably weren't that old. But I learned after he won Crooked Stick, one of our old neighbors from Stowe told us that John Daly was the nephew of this couple.
From Stowe?
From Stowe.
Wow.
And so when I met him, I just said, hey, I didn't know them well, but I knew your aunt and uncle. And he said his name, and he goes, oh. And he
gave you a hug.
We sat there for 20 minutes and talked.
About your aunt and uncle?
No, about everything.
His
aunt and uncle and everything else, and then everything else. He just stood there, and we just talked. And he was a really nice guy, real regular dude. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that over the years. He's more regular than regular could possibly be. So much so that he gets a 19.
How great was he in Happy Gilmore 2, though?
He was awesome in that.
He was great.
He really was. living in the garage. Living in Happy's garage. If you haven't seen the movie, go see it. John Daly's great in it.
Spoiler
and he plays John Daly. What does Happy call him throughout the movie?
Isn't it Uncle John?
Is it Uncle John Daly?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's living in the garage. It's really fun.
Also, and I think we need to, you know, moment of silence, RIP, anything like that. Did you guys see about a month ago that the John Daly Hooters shut down in Augusta, Georgia?
I did hear that. Yes.
That's the end of an era.
They have the best chicken wings, man. I love their wings.
For those of you who don't know, he used to park his RV there and basically live out of that Hooters all of Masters Week, where he would do a whole bunch of signings. He'd watch everything. Like it was known as the John Daly Hooters.
You know, you actually can't tell a lady that you go to Hooters for the chicken wings because they don't believe you.
I'm trying to think. It's been a long time. I was in South Bend about 7 or 8 years ago.
They have great chicken wings.
There's no way those things are healthy for you. No way.
I get
there's
them plain and then dip them in the sauce.
Their sauce is really good. I wonder if they use butter.
The question isn't if. The question is how much.
Yeah.
How much?
There's
Joe Posnanski is a big-time national writer. Joe's from here. Joe's been with us before. He has a new book out. He's a Guardians fanatic. He's a baseball nut. Likes the Browns, too. Joe's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.